Good morning.
Good morning.
I hope you can hear me. The PA system is not working. It's on, but not working. So I will talk loud, and then before the gospel is read, we'll move the mic up so you can hear that. But we welcome you to our worship service this morning. It's a beautiful day. It's a day that after Veterans Day, and a day that we will be before our worship, after our prayer, before the worship, we'll be celebrating and recognizing all of you who have served in the armed services. And I always appreciate and am moved by the armed forces medley. So I'll say a few more about that before we begin, but we're grateful that you're here. A couple announcements, if you'll look with me on the back. November the 20th, we will have our Christmas box consecration. It's a short little service with refreshments. And then it's really cool. We go out and we put our hands and surround the tractor trailers that are there, and we pray, asking God's blessing, not only upon the boxes, but upon the children that will receive them. That is at Calvary Baptist Church on Timberlake Road, Monday at 6 p.m., the 20th. Also, we are having our annual congregational meeting immediately following the service on December the 3rd, and so plan to attend there. Do we know roughly how many boxes we received, Webb?
We filled downstairs 234, but I think a lot more were taken. And if I counted correctly in there, plus some that me and Carrie have and a few others, probably going to hit around 265.
265. So we went from 38 last year to 265. And, you know, that doesn't just happen. I appreciate all of you for your effort. And I appreciate Webb for coordinating it and just doing a great job.
That's done without our congregation.
That's right. It's wonderful. So thank you for doing that. Any other announcements? Let's go to praise and prayer items. And I'd like to begin. Last week we prayed. Al Hill is a chaplain with the Department of Justice and over Lunenburg Prison, and they were starting a Protestant church last Sunday afternoon, and we prayed for him that it would go well. So this morning I'd like him to let us know how well it went.
Extremely well. We had 95 inmates participate, one chaplain and one corrections officer. We celebrated communion. The sermon was offered by an inmate for whom I had administered the rite of reconciliation when he was an inmate at Green Rock, and he's now at Lunenburg. Afterwards, he gave an altar call, and we had nearly half the people attending come forward and had to beg for the corrections officers to give us an extension on our time so we could pray for everybody, and the Spirit moved, and they graciously allowed it.
That's good.
So to God be the glory, and thank you for your prayers.
Amen. And now, will that continue every week?
Every week.
6:30 to 8. 6:30 to 8. So put it on your regular calendar. Just remember that church, brothers in Christ, 6:30 every Sunday. Thank you for that praise request. Now, any other items for prayer or praise? Agnes.
Laurel Dodgen.
Okay.
Chest, not her wrist, on her chest.
All right. We certainly will keep Laurel in our prayers. Thank you. Yes, Carrie.
Pray for my mom tomorrow. She has an EVA for her system. They're leaving it backwards and they've got an early appointment. But also, I have a friend from high school, Missy Sherman Hexen, who just diagnosed with breast cancer as well. That's about six friends now that have been diagnosed in the last few months.
Is that P.J. Sherman's sister?
It is. They live in Wildwood. Mm-hmm. Pretty close to where you can go. Near you are doing.
Yeah. Well, let's keep Missy in our prayers with cancer. And how did the test sleep study go?
No report yet. Okay. She did very well sleeping, though.
Good. Good. Any other items for prayer or praise? Barry, give us an update.
Yeah. The doctors say Gail's surgery went well.
And if that's true, the recovery is harder than expected. So just keep praying for return to movement and healing.
Amen. So Gail had her knee surgery, and let's continue for her improvement. Do you need anything as far as food or?
No, we're fine.
I've got a couple extra cans of Spam.
Maybe some pineapple put on the pizza.
I bet there's never been a can of Spam in the Everett house. All right. Let's continue to keep Gail in prayer. Any other items of prayer? Let's keep Robert in our prayers. He went up to visit Heather yesterday, and he had to cut short his visit because he was having chest pains and shortness of breath. So he did the smart and intelligent thing and completely ignored it and drove home. So he's here today, but we need to continue to keep Robert in our prayers. And you take care of yourself, buddy, and keep Heather in our prayers. Any others? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Lord, we thank you for being able to come together as one. We know that we come from different walks of life, but we also know that we share so many things together. And above all, and eternally so, we share the same Father who has faithfully loved us through Christ Jesus and has showered that love to us through the Holy Spirit. And we just thank you for the goodness of being a part of your family. And we just thank you for a family that loves one another, where we lift up each other's joys and we lift up each other's points of sadness. We thank you that you care for us so deeply. And we just come to you now asking that you would be with Yvette Clark. Pray that she'll go back into rhythm. Be with Bob Carson and Laurel as they will be having surgeries. We pray that you'd be with Missy. May just be with her. Give her comfort. May they be able to find a treatment that will eradicate that. Be with the test that Darby will be having tomorrow. We pray that you'll continue to be with Gail as she recovers, and Carol Lindsay, and just be with both of them as they recover from recent knee surgeries. We thank you for the privilege we have of being able to serve others. We thank you for Al's ministry at Lunenburg and pray that you'll continue to bless there and people will be touched and encouraged. Be with the boxes that are collected and those that will be blessed by them. We also pray that you would be with the person or situation that weighs heavily on our mind that comes to mind at this moment. May you bless. We know you will. So we pray in confidence and trust. In your holy name. Amen. Well, as we know, yesterday was Armistice Day or Veterans Day. And we are going to recognize all those who served in this order. I don't need to tell the people who serve when to stand, but for those of you who may not know, we're going to go Navy, Coast Guard, Air Force, Marines, and Army. So I'd ask, as you go to your appropriate song from a branch you may have served in, to stand so that we can honor you. And also, Mona has printed up the words, so if you would like to sing along, do so. So let us enter into a time that on this Veterans Day weekend, we can honor those men and women who served.
Thank you.
four people representing the Air Force, the Marines, and the Army. Did I miss anyone? Would those four people stand again? Let's show our appreciation to all those who served and all those that we know that served. And then we're going to have a forum after service today with these to see which branch is the best. And it should be interesting. All right. Let's take a moment. And we enter into worship in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Make us to know your ways, O Lord, and teach us your path. Lead us in your truth and teach us, for you are the God of our salvation, for whom we wait.
Amen.
If we say we have fellowship with God while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Have mercy upon us, O God, according to your steadfast love.
According to your abundant mercy, blot out our transgressions. Wash us thoroughly from our iniquity, and cleanse us from our sin. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and put a new and righteous spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation, and uphold us with a willing spirit. Amen.
Let it be known to you that through Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. He commanded us to preach and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name.
Amen.
You'll look with me to the insert. We'll call each to worship using Psalm 70. And then we'll stand and sing probably the most understated hymn, How Great Thou Art, hymn 6. Be pleased, O God, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me.
Let those who seek my life be ashamed, and all they ever disappoint. Let those who take pleasure in my misfortune cry out in disgrace.
Let those who say to me, Ah, and gloat over me turn back, because they are ashamed.
Let all who see you rejoice and cry out in you. Let those who love your salvation say forever, Great is the Lord.
But as for me, I am poor and needy. Come to me speedily, O God.
You are my helper and my deliverer. O Lord, do not tarry.
Consider all.
5:18-24. Woe to you who desire the day of the Lord. Why would you have the day of the Lord? It is darkness and not light, as if a man fled from a lion and a bear met him, or went into the house and leaned his hand against the wall and a serpent bit him. Is not the day of the Lord darkness and not light, and gloom with no brightness in it? I hate, I despise your feast, and I take no delight in your solemn assemblies. Even though you offer me your burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. And the peace offerings of your fattened animals, I will not look upon them. Take away from me the noise of your songs, to the melody of your harps I will not listen. But let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream.
Children, we are bold to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The second reading is 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words.
Enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves. And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered, Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. Thus saith the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
You may be seated.
Grace and peace be to you through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, some of you may not relate to the first part of this sermon. For some of you, sleeping is the easiest thing you do. For some of you, you can sit in a soft chair in front of a TV and watch maybe 5 minutes, and you're asleep. I've even known that some people even can sleep in church, and it is easy. But for a lot of people, and metaphorically, sleeping is not as easy as we'd like it to be. I did some research this past week just on the physical act of sleeping, and I found out that studies show that 50 to 70 million Americans have sleep difficulties. And these are the type. For some, they find it easy to fall asleep, but then they wake up around 1:30, 2, 3, and they can't go back. Others have difficulty in falling asleep, and they lie there with their thoughts, and they toss and turn. Some sleep fully, and they wake up, and they feel more tired than they went to bed. Others have dreams and thoughts that haunt them, making their sleep difficult. So I want to talk about getting a good night's rest. Scripture says a lot about it. The psalmist promised it over and over. I'll just read a couple. In Psalm 4:8, the psalmist said, I will lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone, Lord, make me live in safety. 127:2, in vain you get up early and stay up late. But God gives sleep to the one he loves. Jesus perfectly pictured this. You remember the time in the storm where everyone, all the disciples, are anxious because they're in the midst of a storm, and Jesus is sleeping peacefully. The apostles practice it. It's amazing to me. All through Acts, we see that they'll be beaten for preaching the gospel. They'll be whipped with chains, and they'll be taken into prison to await their sentencing, and they're chained by guards, and they're either singing praises or falling asleep. They're sleeping in the midst of it. Our parable today talks about sleep. Talks about 10 virgins that got tired of waiting. It's been a while since the bridegroom is there. His coming has become delayed, and they fall asleep. Now let's be careful. Unlike the disciples that fell asleep in the garden, they're not condemned or criticized in this parable for falling asleep. No one's condemned or criticized for falling asleep. They're not called wicked disciples. They're called foolish. They're not foolish because they fell asleep. They're foolish because they didn't prepare. They had not prepared. And the prepared ones are the ones that had plenty of oil. And when you are prepared, and I guess this is the premise of the sermon, when you are prepared, you can sleep peacefully. I have a good friend who's an accountant. And he was a very good accountant for a major company for many decades. And he said he liked doing his job properly. And he liked preparing thoroughly, because he loved the sweet sleep he got the night before an auditor came. And he told me of a principle that I had never heard of until he told me, called the swan principle of accounting. And I thought, that's not only a good principle in accounting, it's a good principle in life, but the swan principle of accounting is doing what you do so that you can sleep well
at night. Sleep well at night. And what this parable says is only those who are prepared can sleep well at night. So how do we prepare? What do we do? It's not as easy as making numbers align and books balance and accounts reconcile. Life would be so easy if it could be lived in a formalistic way, that way that if we just got all the numbers in line, we could sleep well. Life is not as easy as bookkeeping, as much as we'd like it to be. Let me tell you some ways we don't prepare. These ways will not help your sleep. The first way we don't prepare is we don't prepare by doing a boatload of good deeds. We don't sleep better because we've done a whole lot for a whole lot of people. I'm glad we did 267 or whatever boxes. I'm glad we work at Parkview. But doing good deeds isn't how we prepare. As Paul said, I could give my body to be burned. But if I have not love, it profits me none. Let me give you another one. These all might surprise you. We don't prepare for good sleep by being a faithful attender at church. You come into church every Sunday, isn't about it. In fact, some of you know you're here every Sunday, and sleep is still difficult. There's no magic formula that if we do all these religious activities, that somehow God's going to make everything easier for us and we'll sleep better. I love this one. We don't prepare by being sinless. Sinners sleep as poorly as sinless, and there is no sinless, but we don't prepare by just obsessively taking our spiritual temperature. We don't prepare for a good night's sleep by having a perfect family. We don't prepare by succeeding in business. Many people have achieved every business and financial goal they ever set up for themselves. They've climbed the ladder extremely high, and peace still eludes them. We don't prepare, and this one hits me, we don't prepare for good sleep by having good theology and knowing the scripture. Now let me be quick to say, none of these things are bad. I want us to do good deeds. And I want you to be faithful church attenders. And we should strive to grow in our discipleship and sin less than we do. We do want to have harmony in our domestic relationships. We do want to succeed in what we've been called to do. We must have good theology. But this isn't what the parable says where the preparation for being able to rest and relax is. It didn't say that these virgins were criticized for lacking any of these things. What were these virgins criticized for lacking? Oil. Oil. And you say, well, that's sort of crazy. And why didn't the other five share? I mean, wouldn't that be the decent thing to do? To share? Well, you've got to allow Scripture to interpret Scripture. And when Scripture uses the word oil, or the concept of oil, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, it's symbolic of the presence of God through His Spirit. When you're anointed with oil, when you have prayer, it's symbolic of God's unique and presence through the Holy Spirit. And the truth of the matter is, you can't share with others the presence of God that you have. You can offer them good words, you can offer them good examples, you can do things for them, but when we go through the heat of the day, each woman and each man sleeps according to the presence of God. And the presence here we're talking about is a very intimate one. If you look at this parable, it's in the context of a wedding, isn't it? Now, I'm not going to deal with, and I don't know of any pastor who's ever dealt with it, including me, the polygamous nature of this parable, that this groom is coming for 10 brides. But that's a different sermon for a different day that I won't preach. But it is a wedding ceremony. It's an intimate connection. Look in verse 12. What does Jesus say to those that were not prepared, did not have his presence? But he said, answered, truly I say to you, I do not know you. Of course he knew who they were. Of course he had an intellectual knowledge. The word there for know is there's no intimacy. Brothers and sisters, what allows us to sleep well at night and to rest is the presence of God. And us being aware of the presence of God and seeking to increase our appreciation, our knowledge of the presence of God. That list of things I mentioned to you that don't help you prepare to sleep well, they all have one thing in common. You can lose them in a minute, can't you? You can see them grow wings and fly away. Anything other than the presence of God, if we count upon it, if we lean on it, will not hold us up. And if that's what we're counting on to sleep well, we're going to fitfully sleep at best. But when the presence of the Lord is our strength, he gives us two things, and I'd like to close with this. He gives us rest in the wilderness. As the children of Israel were going through the wilderness, we have this beautiful promise in Exodus 33. God says, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. I quote that in one way or the other most of the time in most of the situations. I'm going to suggest to you that every one of you are in some type of wilderness. It's all different. I like to talk about poverty pockets. Every person I've ever known has a poverty pocket. Some pocket in their life where there's a deficiency. They may have all the money they need, but there may be a health issue they can't, or a health issue of a family member. You may have wonderful health. You may be truly blessed with your health, but you struggle with family or domestic issues. You may be exceedingly successful in business, but there's some pocket, a point where all of us are in a wilderness. We share that phenomenon, and we also share the only way to prepare for it is to cling tightly to that promise that God says, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. We know quite clearly, as Jesus said, his presence is known by word and sacrament. We're comforted when we hear the word. And when we come forth to receive the bread and cup that's offered to us all, we're strengthened. We're given rest. We don't understand it. It doesn't help any of those other things, but it gives us rest. And the second thing it does is gives us protection. I'd like to read as I close from Psalm 91. Psalm 91 has these verses, the first five verses. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler, and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrows that fly by day. He gives us protection. In verse 5, it says something that seems poetical, but it's making a strong point. It says, you will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrows that fly by day. The distinction of that is the arrows that fly by day are those things that are coming, and you see them coming. You know they're coming. Whatever it might be, a health issue, a financial issue, a family issue, the arrows that fly by day are the problems in life that you see coming. But those terrors of the night those things you don't see coming. And they leave you not only having to deal with the arrow that just pierced, but the surrealism that you didn't see it coming. We sleep well at night, not that we can see all our problems coming, but we have the presence of God, and that's our comfort. I'm going to tell you, give you a secret that was given to me 20-some years ago when I was going through an extremely difficult time. An aunt of mine who lived down in Grayson County, she said, what you need to get is a problem poke. This is a problem poke. Have you ever heard of a problem poke? Have you ever heard of a bag called a poke? It's an old Scottish term. Actually, it comes from the French for derivative of pocket. But you've probably heard the phrase, you don't want to buy a pig in a poke. It's a bag. Anyway, my aunt told me, because I was going through a real tough time, I wasn't sleeping very well at night. Day and night, I was just overwhelmed. I prayed and did all the things I was supposed to and all that, but I couldn't sleep well at night. And she said, get you a problem poke. And I actually thumbtacked mine right beside my bed. And she said, every night when you go to bed, whatever problem it is that's haunting you, throw it into the bag. Because you can't do anything about it anyway. And trust God and get a good night's sleep. That symbolic thing helped me a great deal. I would encourage you to get you a problem poke and cast all your cares upon Him. And then you can get a good night's rest. You know why you can sleep? Because the God we trust, He never sleeps nor slumbers. He's got your six, and He will never let us fail. Amen?
Amen.
Let us stand and confess our faith together, using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Together, brothers and sisters, I believe in God the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
If you join me in the Eucharistic prayer, the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
Let us rise and give us thanks and praise.
Faithful and abiding God, we give you thanks and praise. For from the foundation of the world, you sought to bring us into covenant relationship with you. You created us to enjoy you and one another. You called Abraham to lead a family in your ways. And through Moses, you liberated your people to be your companions forever. After those days, you promised to put your laws in our hearts and write them in our minds, and to remember our sins no more. In Jesus, our great high priest, you opened a new and living way into your presence to share eternal communion with you. And so with saints and angels and all the company of heaven, we sing the praise of your unending glory.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Inviting God, you bring us to your table, meeting true hearts that yearn to come before you with full assurance and faith. Give us a double portion of your Spirit, that we may glow and know the radiance of your glory, and be strengthened and comforted by your presence alone. Through the power of that same Holy Spirit, bless this bread and this wine, that they may be for us the very body and blood of your Son, our Savior, who at supper with the disciples took bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, and again he gave you thanks, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink this, all of you, for this is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For great is the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Completing and perfecting God, in your Son's cross, you took on the grief and failure of the world. And in his resurrection, you dismantled the power of sin and death. Look with mercy on all your people whose longings are unmet. When your children plead for the chance to be creative, productive, or nurturing, give them gentleness, fulfillment, and purpose. When your people yearn to bring joy into the life of others, comfort to the afflicted, or trust to the wounded, give them courage, wisdom, and patience. When your kingdom seems far off, strengthen your church to wait with faith and hope and love until the day when you are all in all, one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Brothers and sisters, I don't want to mislead you. As some charlatans try to tell you, come to Christ or give some money and all your problems will go away. I'm not saying that you drop your problems in this bag. You trust in the Lord and He'll fix all the problems and situations in your life. It's about His presence, not so much the correction of things. And the model of that is a model of all things. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ understands that yearning. He shed great drops of blood, asking God to correct the situation that he was in. To have a cup that he didn't want to drink taken away from him. But like the Apostle Paul later, he learned that God's grace is sufficient. And he said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." And he showed us that even if we go through the crucifixion, there's a far better resurrection than we could ever imagine. As we submit to the loving presence of God, throwing ourselves at His mercy, for He gave Himself in death that we may have life. This is the Lord's table. So I invite all those who love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to come and to receive. We practice by intinction. I'll give you a piece of the bread. You dip it into the chalice. Then come forward and pray. Release whatever is haunting you, whatever is on your mind. Give it to the one who cares for you. There'll be people here at the corner to pray and to join with you in that. Jesus Christ, our Passover lamb, has been slain. Let us keep the feast. Katie,
thank you, our loving Father, for your faithfulness. We thank you that we did not find you. You found us. We thank you that we did not choose you. You chose us. And we thank you that we're not holding on to you, but you are holding us. And we thank you that your grip on us is eternal. Therefore, we can rest and sleep in the peace that only you can afford. And we give you praise. Amen. Let us stand and close our worship, singing our final hymn. Sisters that are just helping each other walk home, aren't we, to our loving Heavenly Father. So you helped me tremendously, and may the Spirit of God help us all. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace both now and forevermore. Amen. This service is over. Go in peace to love and serve our Lord.